And our phone lines are open to you right now. If you've got questions for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the number to get on the air this morning, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. We'll get you on the air with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Their website, klossfinancial.com. That's spelled K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website, site, and resource to learn more about Kloss Financial. Not only can you learn more about the team, you can learn about their separate divisions. You can also sign up. It's a really cool weekly email called Market Pulse Newsletter. You sign up, and each week you'll get a link to a little snapshot of what's been going on in the markets. Also a link to the most recent podcast that available to you at klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. There is no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. That conversation, it will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. The number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Without any further ado, we are joined this morning by CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. CJ, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here, Sean.
It's great to have you along. Malia, how have you been?
Very, very good. Good to be here as well.
It's always great to talk with both of you. And we have this is one of those conversations this week that, and I feel like I could say this probably every week, not only is it amazingly interesting, there is a lot to know about just three little letters, RMDs, required minimum distributions. There is so much to learn about, and it's an absolutely fascinating thing. And we're going to talk about a little bit about those this week with CJ and Malia. Again, it should be an absolutely fantastic show. If you miss any of the show, don't forget, you can always listen back at klossfinancial.com. Subscribe to the podcast right there, klossfinancial.com. Before we start talking about RMDs, another cool feature of the program is the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Chance for you to win a $25 gift card for something great. This week, no exception. Our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Sephora. Tell you a little bit later how you can win that later on in the program. Little tip, though, if you listen closely most of the time, just about every time, both the question and answer come up during each week's program. And before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's actually take a look back at last week's show and talk a little bit about the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. The question and answer there from last week's show, Malia.
Yes. So last week we had a great conversation about what accounts you might have out there that you can actually see that are guaranteed. So we're talking about FDIC insurance. We covered NCUA insurance through the credit unions. So just understanding what could be insured and what is not insured. And our question last week was, what is the maximum amount the FDIC insurance will cover for a single depositor account? Was it $150,000 or up to $250,000 per single depositor account? And Mike of Fitchburg was quick to the phones. He correctly answered that question. Answer is $250,000. So listen carefully today for our question.
You two can be like Mike. Remember that song? It's a Wheaties commercial, Michael Jordan. Yes, you two can be. That's stuck in everybody's head this morning, and I apologize. You two can be like Mike just by paying close attention to the program and being a fast dialer a little bit later on in the show. Speaking of being a fast dialer, you can take your time. We'd love to hear from you, though, this morning. Get you on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to have you join us this morning with Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. We'll be talking, of course, when you think about retirement planning and, of course, working with clients to help them when it comes to distribution of income from their investments. What do folks need to know when it comes to things like starting RMDs, CJ?
This up from time to time as people reach certain ages. This could come into play for them, and so just revisiting this topic can be helpful. So as always, a quick education about RMDs, which stands for required minimum distributions. First, let's kind of set the stage with these basics so you understand what this is all about. So along with the passing of the SECURE Act back in 2020 and the subsequent passing of SECURE Act 2.0, there were some changes with regards to the required minimum distribution schedules. Remember that RMDs are designed to ensure that investments in your IRAs do not grow tax deferred forever. So pause on that. Remember, when you put money into a retirement account, IRA, 403b, 401k, 457, the most common way, or the quote unquote traditional way that we would contribute to these, was on a pre-tax basis. So we would put money in and get to reduce our taxable income for the year, which would reduce our tax liability, and then that would grow on a tax deferred or compounded basis until we get to retirement. So when we get to retirement, of course, when we pull money out, there is an income tax due at that time. This makes, you know, very basic logic sense. Well, the question becomes, what if you don't need that money? Now, some of you are rolling your eyes like, oh, this is all the wealthy people. That might be true, but you might just find that you don't need it until later, or you don't need as much as you thought. That could be because of an inheritance from a family member. We actually run into it quite often. You don't need as much as you thought. And so therefore, the question becomes, can I just defer that forever? And the answer is required minimum distributions. No. The IRS wants to begin receiving the associated taxes that have been deferred on these accounts at some point. So here's some things to know. Owners of IRAs must withdraw part of their tax-deferred savings each year after reaching the age of 73. This is for people born between January 1st of 1951 to December 31st of 1959. Again, I said in current law, it is at age 73. Now, some of you are listening going, no, it's not. I started at 70 and a half. That's true. For you, it used to be that, but you're beyond 73 already, right? So if you were born between January 1st of 1951 and December 31st of 1959, your RMD age is now 73. But specifically, your first required minimum distribution must now be taken by April 1st following the year you turn age 73. This is known as your RBD, your required beginning date. So again, if I turn 73 this year, technically I can wait to draw that first RMD until April 1st of 2025, next year. But here's the tricky part. If you do that, if you take this first year like deferral, then subsequent RMDs must be completed by December 31st of every year thereafter. Let me repeat that. After your required beginning date, subsequent RMDs must be completed by December 31st each year thereafter. What that means is that if you take that optionality to push off your first year's RMD to April 1st of the following year, that means you'll have two that year. Everybody's tracking that. So said another way, typically we don't suggest people actually push it out to the following year after they turn 73, unless there's some tax reason to do so. Okay, moving on from that nerdy topic. So for people born after January 1st of 1960, your required minimum distribution age is now 75. Let me repeat that. This is big. For people born after January 1st of 1960, and I'm raising my hand, I was born after that, your required minimum distribution age is now age 75. Well, this is a big deal, everybody. I mean, it used to be 70 and a half. For a long time, it was 70 and a half, and now it's 75. All this means is that you can defer the income tax consequences and continue to get compound growth for a longer period of time, which is good. It's a net win for savers. Now, remember, if you withdraw less than your RMD, you may owe a penalty. We'll get into this a little bit later, but this has varied over the years, and the penalty has actually come down over time.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Our phone lines here at station, they are open. Love to have you join us. If you've got a question for Malia and CJ, all you got to do is pick up the phone, dial in now, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to have you join us this morning. Don't forget, you can get to know Kloss Financial anytime online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Not only can you get to know the team, you can learn about the separate divisions at Kloss Financial. Also sign up for the Market Pulse newsletter at klossfinancial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. What else do we need to know, CJ, when it comes to required minimum distributions?
Well, pay attention to the terminology there. And by the way, I've had to teach myself this as I've done more and more studying in our industry and across other industries is like pay attention to the terms that are being used. Now, in the medical field, often these are terms that none of us know how to digest, right? They're like Latin-rooted terms, and so we don't know what they mean. But in the case of this, required minimum distribution. So if somebody were to say to me or to you, well, can I take more than that? The answer is read the term, required minimum distribution. So this is the minimum amount you must withdraw from your account. You can always withdraw more. And remember, it's a required minimum distribution at a starting age. That doesn't mean you can't draw before then. It just means if you haven't been drawing by then a required minimum distribution will apply. So just remember, it is a minimum, not a maximum. And it doesn't mean you can't draw before that. It just means if you haven't been by that time, you have to meet the minimum. And furthermore, sometimes people will say, well, what if I am drawing at, say, 72, but then I turn 73 and I'm not drawing enough? I go, well, again, read the definition, required minimum distribution. You must meet that minimum distribution. Your withdrawals will be included in your taxable income, by the way. So just remember that. This is part of the reason, well, this is the reason why this is part of legislation, is because Congress, the IRS, the federal government wants to start getting their tax revenue off of this. So when you pull out that minimum, it generally, I'm saying generally, it generally will be added to your taxable income, except for any part that was part of your basis or any part that can be pulled out tax-free, such as qualified distributions from a Roth account or anything that goes to charities via a qualified charitable distribution. But more to come on that in just a little bit. So when you think of the calculation, because some of you are going, well, what is that? What is that minimum amount when I turn 73? So the calculation of it for any year is the account balance as of the end of the immediate preceding calendar year. So just think December 31st of, say, last year, divided by a distribution period from the IRS's uniform lifetime table. And the table gives you a life expectancy factor. A separate table is used if the sole beneficiary is your spouse, is the owner's spouse, who is 10 or more years younger than you. But this table can be found at investor.gov or at irs.gov. Just go to either one of those websites, kind of look for the search feature and type in RMD table or RMD worksheet, anything like that. So these are widely available tables that you can go to. But just remember, December 31st of the prior year, divided by the number, which is a life expectancy factor, will give you a dollar amount. And that first year's RMD dollar amount is somewhere around 3.7%, by the way. So for every $100,000, it's about $3,700 of minimum distribution.
As promised, this is interesting stuff. There's a lot to this. It's a really, really good program. As always, if you missed any part of today's show and you maybe want some more of those details, you can always listen back at klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Great website and resource. Not only to listen back to the podcast, also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. Get to know the team. Get to know Klaas Financial and their separate divisions. Speaking of Klaas Financial, their telephone number, real easy to make that connection. All I got to do is pick up the phone, give them a call, 608-442-5633. That call, that first appointment, not going to cost you a thing at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. And, of course, telephone number to get on the air. That is 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to get you on with CJ and Malia of Klaas Financial. We'll talk about different accounts, not all accounts, but some. There are ones that you need to be aware of when it comes to distribution for RMDs. We'll get the details from Malia. And, of course, we will take your call next as Money in Motion with Klaas Financial continues here on 1310 WIBA. And our phone lines are open for you right now. If you have questions for Malia Cuevas and CJ Klaas, of course, they come to us from Klaas Financial. A telephone number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. The website for Klaas Financial, klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. And to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Talking this week about RMDs, required minimum distributions. And Malia, from what accounts, when it comes to those RMDs, would they need to be distributed from?
Yeah, it's a great question. And just for simplicity here, we want to make sure that when people, we do throw around acronyms all day long here. And so this morning we're talking about RMDs. required minimum distributions. Sometimes we hear of MRDs, that's minimum required distributions. It's all the same. So I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. But when we're talking about these minimum distribution rules, the RMDs need to come out of the following accounts: traditional IRAs, your SEP IRAs, any simple IRAs, also any 401k plans from prior employers, 403b plans from prior employers, and 457 plans from prior employers, also profit sharing plans and other defined contribution plans. Now you'll notice I said from prior employers. So there's this exception. If you're still working after the age of 73, and you're in, and you actually have a 401k plan at that current employer, you are not required to pull RMDs from that current 401k or 403b. So case in point, in the last 2 weeks, I've had two people who are so excited that they still work. And one of them was 76 years old. She's been working at the same company as an office manager for 40 plus years, still contributing into her 401k, and has not taken a single RMD from it. Nice. Because she doesn't have to. And yesterday I met with an 82-year-old who's been teaching for 50 years. She also is working and has not touched her required minimum distributions because she doesn't have to. So as we said, it's got to be from a current employer's plan. Now, anything left behind an old employer's plan, those are game to come out as required minimum distributions. Now, Roth accounts are different, and we've had some changes this year, but to be specific, Roth IRAs, those do not require withdrawals until after the death of the owner. Now, when those do come out at, as required minimum distributions, they are not taxable as they come out, but they are required after the death. But the difference that showed up this year was Roth 401ks. Previously, we would tell our listeners that you would need to eventually move the Roth 401k into a Roth IRA so you didn't have to do required minimum distributions. What changed this year is the IRS said RMDs are no longer required to come out of Roth 401ks. So that's a big change because we were having a lot of people move them over so they could avoid being forced to take the money out. Again, it always came out not taxable, but obviously people don't like to be forced into situations they don't like.
It was very confusing.
I know, it is.
It is. Thank goodness we have you guys, our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial, to help us understand this stuff. Great opportunity. If you've got a question, love to get you on the air with CJ and Malia. All you got to do is give us a call, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Learn more about Claus Financial, the website, clausfinancial.com, and their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. So Malia, how is the amount of that RMD, that required minimum distribution, how is that calculated annually? And does that amount change every year? And what if we forget to take it out?
Yeah, you would never do that.
No, not me.
Yes, so there are two changing parts of the equation every year. First, I think your age changes. Secondly, your account balances on your retirement accounts change as well. So they could be up, they could be down. They certainly could be down because you did take a distribution out for that year. So the equation is you take your December 31st prior year retirement balance. So you don't know it for next year yet. It was from December 31st of 2020. Three, and you divide that number by a life expectancy factor. And again, you can use the uniform lifetime expectancy table. As CJ mentioned, if you go to irs.gov, you'll find an automatic RMD calculator. But for simplicity, current table shows that if you're turning 73 in 2024, you can take that account balance and you can divide it by your life expectancy withdrawal factor, which is currently 26.5. So in essence, $100,000 means that you'd have to distribute from your pre-tax accounts approximately $3,700, $3,773 in 2024. Now, you would pay income taxes on that amount. So many times people say, okay, so if I distribute that, that means I'm going to get the whole $3,773. And you can, but there will be tax due. That's the whole point of required minimum distributions. So like for our clients and many other advisors, we typically will withhold the necessary tax, forward that to the IRS so that the following year you're not facing a tax bill, preferably. So that's how that works. But some important RMD things to know, if there's a younger spouse involved and the sole, and if they're the sole beneficiary of your IRA for the entire year and they are 10 years younger than you, they can actually, you can actually use the joint life expectancy table. So that actually allows for you to take a little bit less out, because obviously the spouse perhaps will live longer because they're younger. So that's really important to know, because you want to be able to stretch that money out as much as possible. Another thing to know, RMDs are calculated separately for each IRA, but they can be aggregated when you start taking the money out, meaning that you could have literally 10 IRAs and a separate calculation for each, but the IRS doesn't care where you take your RMD from, as long as you take the correct amount from. So many times people will just take it from a single IRA for the amount versus pro rata. And also keep in mind that if you delay that first RMD, as CJ mentioned, and double up that first year, you have to look at your taxable income, because that could be significant. So look carefully at your taxable income and the tax brackets that are associated and plan accordingly. And then finally, we don't like the word penalty, but this has really come down significantly now. So if you fail to take your RMD by the deadline, which is December 31st every year, there is a 25% penalty on the amount of the shortfall, just the shortfall. And the penalty can be further reduced if the taxpayer takes the missed distributions in a specific time frame. If the error is corrected within 2 years, your penalty drops to 10%. Some cases, if you missed it due to a mistake and you can demonstrate that reasonable steps were taken to resolve the issue, the IRS may waive the penalty. I said may. This is the IRS we're dealing with. But please don't miss it if possible. Yeah. Work with your financial advisor or accountant and make sure you get those out in a timely fashion.
That maybe the penalty may be a little better, but it's still one of those ouch ones.
Like giving money back.
No, not at all. As we talk this morning with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, they are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. You can learn more online, the website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. 442-5637. What if you have an inherited IRA? What do you need to know when it comes to RMDs? We'll get the details next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary to you. Again, that telephone number, 608-442-5637. Talking this week about RMDs, and there's probably some folks listening going, I've inherited one. What do I need to know then, an IRA? What do I need to know then about RMDs, CJ?
Yeah, so again, it's fascinating because these simple concepts, which begins with, well, hey, the IRS and the federal government needs to run operations, and so they need to eventually have taxes paid on these tax deferred dollars. That's a simple concept, right? Mm-hmm. But when you start applying it, boy, oh boy, does it get complicated. So we already went through a fair number of complications, which is these ages for RMDs are changing and the percentage, and there's a table and how do you calculate it and the required beginning date and all these fun things. Well, here's kind of complexity layer number two, which is what if I inherit a retirement account? How do required distributions begin then? Well, let's jump into that. So inherited IRAs have had some changes as well with the passing of Secure Act 1 and Secure Act 2. So inherited IRAs are also subject to RMDs typically. If you inherited the account prior to 2020, you're required to take distributions based on your life expectancy. If you are a non-spouse, let me repeat that. If you inherited the account prior to 2020, you're required to take distributions based on your own life expectancy, assuming you're a non-spouse. However, if you inherited an account in 2020 or later, and the original owner had already reached their required beginning date, which remember, what is that date? Well, it's when their RMDs would have started based on their age. April 1st of the year following that is their required beginning date. So if they had already reached their required beginning date and you inherited this account after the year 2020, you will need to continue taking minimum distributions. And if you are a non-spouse, you have to have all that money out within 10 years. Okay. So again, think of it. I'm going to focus on the big picture because I'll be frank on the air here trying to give you all the calculations of this is quite complex. So big picture. If you inherited a retirement account prior to 2020 and you are a non-spouse, you generally have to take minimum distributions over your life expectancy, which could be, you know, 40, 50, 60 years. It depends on when you inherit the account. If you inherit the account 2020 or later and you are not the spouse, generally speaking, you will have to continue that minimum distribution if the original owner had had minimum distributions themselves, and all the money has to be out within 10 years. And as you can imagine, whoa, what if this is $1 million IRA or a $500,000 IRA? Does that mean I have to be taking potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars out? Potentially, yeah, potentially. And of course, that gets added to your taxable income as a beneficiary. So what I'd say to you all, if you're listening to this, you're probably going to want to talk to a financial planner if you're inheriting large pre-tax retirement accounts, because the when and the how much that comes out of that account is pretty important. Now, I keep saying non-spouse. So if you were the spouse, then you have some choices that everybody else does not. First, you could transfer the account into your own IRA, and then it's as though the money was always yours, and you could begin taking required minimum distributions in the year you turn 73, as an example. Or you can transfer your your deceased spouse's IRA into what's called an inherited IRA. And if the owner's spouse chooses to take the IRA as a beneficiary rather than assuming it as their own, they can choose when to begin taking RMDs on the basis of their own life expectancy. So let me, again, simplify this. If you are a spouse and you are receiving a retirement account, 401k, 403b, IRA from a deceased spouse, and you are under the age of 59 and a half, you are generally going to want to take that as an inherited IRA. You're not going to want to take it over as your own. You're going to want to put it into an inherited IRA. Reason being is because you want to have access to that without a penalty. If you move it into your own IRA and you're pre-59 and a half, generally speaking, you won't be able to pull money out until you reach that age 59 and a half. So goodness gracious, even as I'm explaining this, I feel like it's so complex. I hope what everybody's hearing is there's a lot of rules around this. If you are, you know, either fortunate or unfortunate enough to receive one of these types of accounts in 2020 or later, make sure you know the rules and that you abide by them.
Really important guidance there as we talk with CJ Claus and Malia Cuevas. This is an amazing topic when it comes to required minimum distributions, RMDs. Of course, if you've got questions, you can always learn more online, clausfinancial.com. Telephone number for Claus Financial, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. So we've talked about RMDs. We've talked about a lot of the ins and outs of that. And then there's another abbreviation I hear from time to time, QCDs. And let's talk about RMDs and charitable giving. And what do we feel like we're going down a whole other one here, CJ?
We are. Yes. If your heads aren't spinning enough, you know, strap in. But let me encourage everybody, because I want to filter or couch what this topic is about. So QCDs, qualified charitable distributions, if you are charitably inclined and you are getting near your required minimum distribution age, or more simply near 70 and a half, if that is you and you have a retirement account, pay special attention here, because this is a huge win for charities, a huge win for you. So here's the concept. Qualified charitable distributions can begin at age 70 and a half. And I know you're going, wait, I thought RMDs are out further. They are. Required minimum distributions are being pushed out. The age at which you must begin those required minimum distributions are being pushed out to 73 and 75. However, that did not get matched with the age at which you can do a qualified charitable distribution. FYI, qualified charitable distributions can only come out of IRAs. They cannot come out of 401ks. And secondarily, you must literally be 70 and a half. So it can't be the year in which you turn 70 and a half. You must be 70 and a half or older in order to qualify at the time you do a qualified charitable distribution. To put it simply, you all know that if you pull money out of your pre-tax retirement account and put it in your pocket or your checking account, that shows up on your 1099 as a taxable distribution and it increases your taxable income and boom, you get hit with marginal income taxes. However, if instead of that, I take that money out and direct it to a charity, that money, it does show up on my 1099, by the way. It shows that I pulled the money out. So it does kind of count towards my minimum distribution, but it does not show up as taxable income to me. Now, some people go, why does this matter? I'll just give to the charity out of my checking account. Because remember, everybody, when you give to a charity out of your checking account, it shows up in your Schedule A. And your Schedule A is known as your itemized deductions. And those itemized deductions between your charitable giving, your mortgage interest, your SALT deductions, and your medical deductions, of all those itemized deductions, they must exceed, be greater than your standard deduction, which your standard is quite high these days. For many people over 65, this number is getting up to $30,000. So if your itemized don't exceed 30 grand, well, it's as though you never gave to a charity in the first place. So here's the key. If you are over 70 and a half, if you are giving to charities, and if you have a pre-tax retirement account, you should absolutely be giving out of your IRA and not out of your checking account. Let me repeat that. Gosh, I hope if there's anything people hear. If you are giving to charities, if you are over 70 and a half, and if you have a pre-tax retirement account, you should absolutely be giving out of that IRA to the charity instead of your checking account. Now, you know what? Even as I say that, I've got to give my disclaimer. I think I really don't even know a circumstance under which you wouldn't, but I don't like using absolute terms, and I just did there. So I think under 99.9% of the circumstances, you should. So long story short, talk to your accountant, talk to your financial advisor, and really slow down and make sure that you are trying to take advantage of that qualified charitable distribution feature.
A really great win for everybody, but you got to make sure you follow the guidance and the rules and the guidelines. And as we talk with CJ and Malia, one of the great things is that conversation. All you got to do is give them a call at Kloss Financial, 608-442-5637. No charge. The initial get to know you conversation at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. I mentioned the telephone number 608-442-5637. You want to hold on to that telephone number now because it's time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. Just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Sephora. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: true or false? Is it okay to withdraw more than the required minimum amount from your IRAs each year? True or false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with correct answer will win that $25 gift card to Sephora. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. And the website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. CJ, Malia, it's always great chatting with both of you guys. Enjoy this fantastic day.
Thanks, Sean.
News comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA.